Thank the light, everyone. Thank the light, everyone. I am Desmond, and this is my hetero life mate,
Thaddy the Chef. What's up, guys? Parched Ailment on Twitter.
Welcome to the Wheel of Time. Welcome to our Wheel of Time podcast. We are the true source.
Ooh, I like that. we are the true source. Anybody else going elsewhere? You suck.
You guys are fake light.
You guys are nerds. The worst kind of nerds.
So we just finished. We went through all the commentaries. Those episodes kind of took care of themselves. We went off on a few tangents here and there, but they kind of kept us reined in. And so I'm letting Fatty off the chain on this one. And I'm going to pipe in when I can. But we have, you know, there's so much that we haven't been able to get to working on these commentaries that, yeah, we're going to get on a lot. We're going to leave a lot out because we have a lot more podcasts to do. So don't worry about it. I'm going to hit you right up top. If there's anything you want us to touch on, you can't believe we didn't catch. It's probably on Fatty's, his like, you got like a 7.
You can't see the Zoom, but oh my God, it's a notebook and it's
a composition book full of 7 style things. But yeah, hit us up at thankthelight@gmail.com. That is thankthelight@gmail.com. We want to read your comments on the air.
Yes, we do. 100%. So what's up? Are you having any withdrawals yet? I'm not. I'm still immersed. I took a little bit of a week off after the commentaries and I haven't even been listening to the book just yet. A little bit of Twitter.
I've listened to 10 hours of the book.
Oh, dude, that's good. That's impressive.
But, no, it gets worse. I'm only 5 hours into it because I have listened to the first chapter 5 times.
Wait, on purpose?
On purpose.
Okay, cool. Because that's, wait till you get to the end. You're going to be like, oh, God, what the? God, can you listen to this with me and hold my hand?
Yeah, once I get into the book, I'm like, okay, I know who he is. I knew who she is. I can picture the tavern. Like, I get this. But that first chapter, it's only got 3 characters in it, and I can't fucking follow it to save my life. Who the fuck is Zylena?
Ilyena. Winter Dragon, Ilyena. That was Luz Theron's wife. So that whole prologue is about Luz Theron. That's that first chapter is Luz Theron and Ishmael. He lets him know that he killed all his whole family and
Ilyena is
That's Winter Dragon.
Ilyena is the Winter Dragon.
Ilyena, we have a guest. Remember that whole scene is
it's
that.
So
you know?
What I can't. I don't know why I can't wrap my head around it because. On the one hand, he's calling for her like she needs to be here to run this meeting. But then on the other hand, she's like being called on to like bring drinks for the guest.
He's lost his mind. He's insane. He doesn't realize that she's dead. He's killed all his whole family. And he is just woken up like, oh, we have a guest and we need to make sure they have salt and bread and Ilyena, where are the children? And it's like, bro, you fucking killed everybody. They are all fucking dead. That gives you a little, if that gives you a perspective for Winter Dragon, which I'm actually going to talk about in a second, it gives you perspective is Ishmael showing up, you know, on the day when he's earned the name Kinslayer. His name's Luz Theron, but the nickname is Kinslayer when they want to talk it up negatively because he kills everyone who has a drop of his blood or that he loves. That's why Moraine says, if you go to the Eye of the World and you're not the dragon, you're probably fucking dead.
Okay.
But they're really extrapolating it to like, he had fully was engulfed in the madness. He had no idea that she was dead. He's seeing visions of her. And Ishmael goes, you really don't get it? You really don't understand? And he goes, I'm going to give you this. He's like, it's not the healing you're used to, but it will give you sanity enough to know what you've fucking done.
Oh,
and then he travels away, realizes what he's done, and then pulls as much power as he can and creates the volcano Dragonmount as his tomb. That's how Luz Theron dies.
I just wouldn't trust myself because I know they keep saying like her dead eyes as she lay on the ground.
Right.
And then he would call to her to bring refreshments. And I wonder if I was reading it, if I could have gotten it better. For some reason, my mind was like creating these pictures of all these people moving around. And
I think that's an instance where having seen who Luz Theron is, even in a really small snippet in the show, hurts you because you're like, how does this tie in? And if you've actually watched Winter Dragon, that's literally that scene, basically.
Yeah.
And actually, one of the things I was going to talk about, there's this thing. I think it's called What Up, like W-O-T up, like What Up. It's a YouTube channel, I believe. Might be Twitter. But they have a re-edited version of Winter Dragon. And I went back and watched the really horrible one. And the re-edited one, it's amazing.
Oh.
It's so much better. It makes so much more sense.
It's the same materials. They just...
It's the same material. They've just chopped it up differently, and it makes so much more sense, and it really has much more feel of the book. And I think you've probably seen Winter Dragon. You've seen the show. You have the book, and it's just there is a big jumble and disconnect. The way they recut it, though, it made a lot more sense. I mean, I'm not saying it's great or anything,
yeah,
but it was much better than the original.
Oh.
And I hope, actually, I hope Billy Zane does somehow make a cameo in this because...
Oh, he's got to.
He's awesome. So good. He's so good, man.
Oh my God. I'm like fast forwarding through the Winter Dragon on YouTube right now. And I can like, I'm picturing the first paragraph. Like I can see him looking around the halls for Ileana.
Yeah. It's not terrible. It's just, there's no frame of reference. So you're just like, who the fuck are these people? What's happening? Who's Ileana? What are they talking about? And they had, like you said, they had to make it to keep the, you know, keep the licenses or whatever.
Just film the first chapter so we can, yeah, keep this. Because, yeah, as I was listening, I was like, anybody who thought this show was going to start with this scene is fucking insane.
Yeah.
If you're mad.
Yeah, you don't have any frame of reference for anything.
Nothing. Like, it's kind of like I happen to have on, like, well, I think I was actually editing our podcast. I always put a movie on in the background. I always keep the volume all the way down, but just like. When I'm getting blurry-eyed from editing, I just want to lean back and just look at something else. So I just put movies on in the background. And so I had the Lord of the Rings trilogy going on in the background. And it made me think, when they start the second Lord of the Rings movie, when they give you that huge prologue of, what's his name? The creature.
Gollum?
Yeah, then they...
Smeagol or whatever.
Yeah, through the whole first movie.
When he's an actual hobbit.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're like, what? This dude was a hobbit? What the fuck?
But like,
yeah, that blew my mind. I guess as a non-reader, you would be like, what? You knew that if you read them.
Well, but I bet that scene was way fucking earlier in the book.
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah, okay, I see what you're saying.
So, like, if they put this scene, if this scene opens up season two or opens up season three, then it'll be like, oh,
it makes a lot more sense.
That's
that guy, he killed everybody.
The mountain, yeah.
He hates his family. I mean, not really, but yeah, he's a dick. No.
Yeah, no.
I mean, if for anybody listening, I believe it's Watt News and there's another one. It's a Twitter handle. It's Watt Fan Edit. And they are cutting together the show also into a one long movie.
Oh.
So I haven't looked at it yet, but that's another thing that we can definitely check out. It seems pretty cool. The show, one of the shows, The Dusty Wheel, if anybody, they've been doing it for a while. YouTube show, channel more than a podcast, but they're pretty cool. And I think the Dusty Wheel, I think may have been the ones, I think they did a recut of the Winter Dragon maybe first, but then there's the Watt Fan Edit that they did the Winter Dragon. And like I said, if you watch them, the recut's really good. It makes much, much more sense.
Awesome.
Speaking of that, dude, the Cheetos fucking white cheddar puffs. God, that's ridiculous, bro. Like, I started eating them, and it's like, what? You didn't have to eat the whole bag, you fat fuck. Like,
yeah,
God,
you
damn
did.
Damn it. Like, Lisa and I both will take them away from each other. She's like, put it down. Or she'll be like, take it away from me. Like, Sam, I'm like, yeah, I know. It's all bad.
Hey, you ever talk about Wheel of Time? On weed.
On weed? Nah. So you are, what, like, you say you've listened to 10 hours, but not really on the book. So what chapter do you think you're on, roughly? Have you got to Winter Night yet?
No. I think I've made it to the beginning of Winter Night. That's chapter 4 or 5.
I thought it was 8, but it might be 4 or 5.
Oh yeah, I'm nowhere near 8. I'm right where Moraine has just, I'm a little ways past it, but the biggest thing is that Moraine gave them all the money And then when she walked away,
right,
and they were just kind of like musing. And then I've listened to quite a bit after that, but as you know better than anyone, it's just like another 20 minutes of world building that nothing really happens.
Yeah. So, okay. Yeah. You're on chapter five. Chapter five's Winter Night. So that's when it starts to like, it's funny because you're like, that's when it really starts. You're like, after Winter Night is once, you know, you get really, really hooked.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm in Winter Night. Sorry. Yeah. I'm definitely in Winter Night.
When the Trollocs, they show up at Rand's house, you're just like, what the fuck, dude? That's just crazy. So, yeah, dude, you're getting into the meat of the stuff. And then, like, you know, once they take off, then you're fully, like, kind of in our season, you know, like, episode two, basically, is kind of, like, where you'll be, you know. Once we get into that, I'm curious to see your thoughts on how they're adapting it as someone who is going, you know, backwards, I guess.
Yeah, and it's the biggest thing, the biggest change I've noticed so far is Egwene is, like, super timid.
Yeah, she's pretty timid. That changes fast, and you can cut this if you want. Her timidness fucking disappears really quick. She's already strong, and that because really intrinsic to how quickly she goes from like mousy to like nope, never again.
This may be a little spoilery, but since it's me asking the questions, I think we're probably okay. So at the end of the first chapter of the book, like the land, is it true that like not only has the mountain come up, but like everything has changed, like the whole land, like it sounds like it almost like the continent goes from like a Pangaea to separate continents. And is that part of like where the Seanchan is? That, am I saying that right?
Yeah, Sean, like Sean, S-E-A-N, Seanchan.
Seanchan. Because just thinking about their righteousness, like when someone is it because someone broke the world and they want to fix it?
Well, in a way, yes, but the
in their own way.
But the Seanchan are, and it's going to be weird because one of the, you know, the just, you know, if you remember the Horn of Valyr, it calls dead heroes back. Well, one of those dead heroes happens to be Archer Hawkwing. Well, Archer Hawkwing is the, since the Aes Sedai, thousands and thousands of years ago, he's the closest person since the breaking. So after the post-breaking that had almost everybody kind of under one flag and one rule and there was peace. And then Ishmael got free again and started whispering in his ear and sent two of his sons or something, like sent half of his armies and half of his like heirs across the ocean to, you know, conquer and spread the word, like Roman Empire style. And they never came back. And Archer Hawkwing's empire's long destroyed. Well, guess who just came back?
Oh,
they're Archer Hawkwing's armies. And in the Great Hunt, the Seanchan are attacking. And I won't tell you which character blows the horn, but Archer Hawkwing shows up to fight his own fucking people.
Yes.
And he doesn't engage them directly, he actually farts a he actually farts himself to death. It's amazing. He farts himself to death. It is literature on par with William Shakespeare.
William Shatner.
No, he fights a different part of the battle. And but it's the same, you know, the Seanchan are on kind of like a different part of the battlefield. But it's like, there's some fucking irony for you.
Yeah.
And I realized why Rand's hair got so suddenly like long and luscious and curly. I'm pretty sure it's a wig. I've been looking at his Instagram and he's bald all the time.
Oh,
so it
no
must be
way.
Because he's got a wig. Like, okay, dude, like your hair grows too crazy. Like, can you just shave it? I'm gonna slap that wig on you so you look the same. It's like, you got to have the red curls, bro.
Oh.
No, I don't know. It's funny. That just made me laugh a lot. So I was like, oh, God. I need to find out more about the RPG, too. I need to find out if there's a place I could, if it's worth playing or if it's just too clunky. I've heard that people, if you can get through the RPG, that it's pretty fucking cool.
Really?
Like, it's got a good story to it. And, like, if you have it on a good enough graphics card, it actually looks pretty good,
oh,
too.
Wow.
Like, you can that one of the reviews I read was like, oh, you can really like recognize where you're at. Like, oh, I'm in the White Tower or wherever, you know? So,
oh, wow.
Which I thought that was pretty dope. And I mean, that game was made in like 2002. I'd love for someone to go remaster it. I'm hoping that someone takes that game and just remakes it. on a better engine, because that'd be really cool.
Well, it's on the, it's, yeah, it was early Unreal Engine, but that makes it pretty easy to upscale, I think.
Yeah, that's what I said. I think I was reading a couple of things like, yeah, if you upscale it and you have a better graphics card, it's actually a really, really beautiful game.
Very cool.
Yeah, but it has to do with directly with the, you know, the seals and the Dark One and all that kind of stuff. So, oh, here's what I want to get to, and I'm super excited about it. I've been talking about some of these fucking characters for a while. And these are some casting. There's some new casting leaks. And of course, I lost them. Oh, and these are predictions, but these are like, they're kind of leaks, I believe.
Okay.
So I need to look at this more. But a lot, I did see on the Dusty Wheel, they talked about Elias Mashera, which is the guy I've been talking about, who is Perrin's kind of like mentor in the, like, in his wolfness. Yeah, so. And I'm pretty sure, hold on one second. I'm terrible. I'm so unprepared.
I found a 40-minute video of a playthrough of Wheel of Time. So I might watch that at some point.
Oh, dude, I might have to watch that too, dude. That's awesome. Because I have watched a few scenes of it before. The guy who is playing Elias is a dude named Gary Beadle, I believe. And I don't know much about him, but it's like, I'm just excited that Elias is going to be coming to the show because he's a big part of Perrin's growth. He's already really strong as a him and Perrin are true wolf brothers. Elias is like Perrin. He can speak to the wolves. They can speak to each other. Elias can also enter the wolf dream, although I'm not sure how strongly he can do that. They don't go into it. But they've also, looks like they may have casted Fail, who is Perrin's future wife. Looks like someone named Natasha Jehendry. Like I said, this is from someone on named Moradin on Twitter. And I'm not sure if they're official. I think they're leaks, but I feel like they're pretty official. Because the one guy was right, and the other chick playing Elaine, there's been lots of pictures of her out for a while. I think her name is Ciara Coveney. She's like a little, kind of like strawberry blonde with freckles. She looks a lot like the Maiden of the Spear.
Ooh.
A little bit kind of freckly face, that kind of honey blonde, reddish hair. But Varin Sedai looks like she's been casted, and that's one of the people I'm really excited. She was the one of the Aes Sedai that I told you about. Her story is one of the best side arcs around. She is Brown Aja. So Celine, who, spoiler alert, is not really named Celine, looks like she may have been cast too. That's a super important character. And then there's another character, and there's two names next to it. Someone named Avienna and another one named Birgitta. And you and I have already talked about Birgitta. She is one of the heroes of the Horn of Legend. She's a bow badass.
Bow body.
Yeah. So if it's either her or a potential really important person in Rand's arc, I will say. Her name Avienna is very important to Rand. So
Rand.
If those are all true, I'm really excited.
In the books, how long is Rand alone? Like, does he go to a town and meet up with some people right away? Or because I know they won't do it in the movie. They won't have him fucking walking alone for episode after episode. I mean, I'm just curious.
So Rand actually doesn't get to spend a whole lot of time alone. Book two, he is, I mean, like alone for a while, but he is with Loial and one other person. And then they come across Celine.
Does Moraine send Loial after him?
No, they all take off with Ingtar and Uno, and they go after Potenfain and to get the Horn of Ilir, and he's got the dagger too. So Matt, Perrin, Ingtar, you know, all the Shinarans are going after the Horn, and then basically they put Rand in charge of them. And then they go to sleep by this portal stone, and Rand and Loial and this other guy.
But where do they find Rand?
He doesn't take off in the book.
Okay.
He does that later.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying. So, and then they go through the whole Great Hunt. They end in Falm, seeing this Shan Chan for the first time. Some things happen with Rand and one of the big baddies.
Big baddies.
We say, no, we say Baalzaman here. No, no, Poutine, sir. We're going to go to Canada to get some poutine.
Canada?
French fries and gravy.
Almost made it. Another movie I watched last week while I was editing.
Littering and...
You know what?
Littering and...
You know what's growing on me? Super Troopers 2. It's...
Oh, it's all right.
The more you watch it, the more clever you realize it is. Like, I think the first time I watched it, I think the borderline handicap jokes just turned me off so much. It was just like, you guys are better than this.
Well, and you know, for any of the people who listen to the pod there, and not to jinx it, but you know what? It won't be our fault or his fault. It'll be Amazon shutting it down. I did reach out to Guy Roberts on Twitter and got a reply within like 8 hours and was like, dude, I'd love to come on your show and talk for a little while. And so if Amazon okays it, maybe we'll see what his favorite breakfast foods are or something.
Yeah, if anyone out there knows anyone near Amazon Prime and can help us get in touch with Amazon PR and just assure them that we're not going to ruin Guy Roberts' life.
No, I would never.
With a nice little chat, that would be amazing. Yeah, but either way.
No, it's cool.
But either way, Fatty's been kind of back and forthing with him on Twitter for a while now. I mean, not DMing, but just like kind of liking each other's shit and stuff.
The other night watching some shit and I was just like, you know what? This guy is so fucking cool. Like he literally like is in character on Twitter all the time and he just seems like the coolest cat. Like, I'm just going to DM him and ask him if he'll come on the show. I don't even know how it works, but hey, he's like, dude, I'd love to, like, you saw it before I did. He's like, dude, I'd love to. I would be great.
Yeah, we ended up tag teaming, and Justin DM'd him. He got back to us, and then I responded just because I wanted to leave it for Justin, but I was just like, we got to keep this momentum going. Like, yeah, let's do that.
Oh, this stupid stoner's not going to wake up till noon, and he's going to say exactly. Something dumb and blow it.
I got a 6-year-old. I'm up.
Or anybody else, for that matter, who happens to hear this. Yeah, if you have connections to any Wheel of Time people, I don't care. Dude, we'd love to talk to you because I'm a fucking nerd.
If you did any makeup or lighting for Wheel of Time, let us know.
If you're a key grip, dude, tell me how tired your arm got, man. Like, dude, those mic booms are fucking heavy and the horses, they poop on your feet all day. Great, let's talk about it.
All right.
So, moving on, I have like two more little things.
Perfect.
Fucker, don't quit on me.
I'm not going to quit on you yet. I'm just making sure we're moving towards the finish line.
And I got to find out. It's another thing. You know, I was looking up so much shit. Apparently, and I don't know why this was chosen, and I'm going to look into it more because the guy who I saw bringing it up, apparently the power was going to look different on screen.
Oh.
And there's some pictures of it that are really cool. It's like Earth was going to be kind of like a little bit of a green.
Oh.
Fire was going to kind of have an orange and yellow because, you know, and then like, and if you were, they show some pictures of some of the weaves of how, like, you know, if you're channeling air and then water also, and kind of how it's melding together. And that was what the original plan was. And so far, I haven't been able to find, like I said, I haven't dug into it, but it's like, did they just do that for monetary reasons? Or because the guy's theory was that it would have gotten too chaotic having so many channelers on screen. But his argument and mine, it's like, you have a bunch of white lines racing across the screen and some with black on them too. It's going to be just as confusing as rainbows. And if you can find the pictures of them, it's on a YouTube video, and I can't remember the name of the studio. I'll find it for you.
Yeah.
But they look really cool. And I hope if there's, I hope there's some way they can kind of, as the audience learns to recognize what the One Power is, they learn how to recognize the weaves as well or something. Because I think it's a money thing more than a, you know, it's going to be too confusing thing. But man, I think it would have been a lot cooler if they'd have done it that way.
I don't know, because I think having just masculine and feminine was a good way to go.
But he said that that's not what it was. They said that was just kind of an artistic choice. The white was the power, and then the black part, like...
The taint.
I don't want to spoil this for you, but...
But they do call it oily, too, even in the book, like almost immediately they say
there
oily.
There are times at the end of the Eye of the World where there is a pool of clean Sidene at the Eye of the World. And he tells you, you get to, I believe it is sort of what it feels like to channel it without the taint. It's still terrible.
Oh.
It's still like the women are like, it's beautiful. And you open yourself up to the warmth, the sun. Like even without the taint, it's described as trying to wrestle a raging torrent of lava.
Oh.
And make it do what you want. And that's what Sidene is to a man. Even without the taint, it's still like if you surrender to it, it'll kill you. You fight it tooth and nail and you make it do what you want to do. That's the difference between the male half and the female half. The female half is to go with the flow, manipulate it, to push it where you need it to go. And eventually you learn how to control it completely. The man, it's like you dive in, you fucking start swimming, you grab it by the neck and you better wrestle that bull, boy, or you're dead.
Oh.
And then the more you wrestle with the power, the stronger you get as a man.
I like
and Sidene.
That's really cool. I like the idea of, the women just being like, the power is here. Let's work with it. And then men are just like, I'm going to fucking wrestle that bull. And I'm going to take it. I'm going to run down there and I'm going to fuck a cow.
Yeah. You've got the right idea with the oiliness.
Yeah.
It's the, it's like.
It's like jerking off in a hot tub, Even though it's just a little bit of cum, it's still too much.
It ruins the experience for everybody. So, hey, I hate to refer to Jim Rome again, but he's in the Broadcasting Hall of Fame for a reason. There's a guy, I think it's John Calipari. He's a basketball coach. I believe a college basketball coach. And he has this analogy and he goes, so check this out, man. He goes, I got my teams of kids, right? And if someone's being a dick, they're that guy, they're that guy. They're causing a problem. He goes, look, man, I could have a tub of ice cream and a tub of poo. I can put all of the ice cream I want in that tub of shit. It doesn't change it from shit. It's still shit. All I need is one drop of poo in the ice cream, bro, and it's ruined. And you're the poo in the ice cream. Get out.
You know what? I just thought Kelly and I are always trying to come up. She doesn't like the way yuck my yum rolls off the tongue. So she's always looking for a new one. So my new one is you're the Skittle in my bag of M&Ms. Yeah. On that note, do you have one last bullet point you want to get to before I cut you off? Or can we save it?
No, man, that's it. Just going into the next pod, just for you to think about, too. It's like, I wonder, like you said, how long is Rand by himself? Well, he takes off after the events in Great Hunt for, I'd say, 3 months, 4 months. He takes off. They're on, like, the eastern part of the continent, and he needs to make it to Tyr, where Suan is from, which is very south. And he takes off because he's like, I'm tired of bringing danger around my friends, and I'm just going to go in. He takes off by himself, like kind of going crazy, riding horses until they die and then stealing a new one. When he can't steal one, he just runs until he can't run anymore. And then he sleeps in under a haystack because literally dark friends are after him trying to kill him. He's having dreams haunted every night. So he kind of starts going crazy, not because of the power, but because of the pressure that he's under already. And, it's like his friends need him. He's got bad guys chasing him. There's these things called dark hounds that are pretty badass.
Sorry. I just went off on a tangent because I saw the title for season 2, episode 1, and I wanted to get it right. A Taste of Solitude.
I would say that Rand will probably spend a few months by himself and they will somehow get back together.
So that might just be episode, like, I bet you if he spends 2 episodes alone, I'll be shocked.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. It's like, yeah, dude, because, the Great Hunt, he is apart from, they kind of go their separate ways, but they're still partied up a little bit. Nynaeve and Egwene are together. Matt and Perrin and Rand are together. Rand kind of breaks off accidentally, rejoins with them, and then so they're kind of bouncing around. They all end up in the same place, and then they split up again, and then Rand splits off alone after that for like 3 months. So I'm wondering if they're going to move that 3 months up ahead of that, and then bring them back together ahead of time. And that way, the reason why, this is my Matt theory that ties into this, is because of Barney Harris, and I still can't figure out That guy might be dead. I don't know. I can't even really find anything on like his Instagram. He doesn't post nothing.
Yeah.
So anyway, but my theory is that Matt will somehow, he's going to have to get to the dagger before too long or it's going to kill him. But they also need the dagger to break his link from the dagger. So he's going to somehow maybe get with Rand and the ways, maybe. I don't know. And then, but Matt's final healing takes place in the bowels of the tower with like 20 sisters.
Ooh.
It's a big deal. Yeah. And afterwards, it's like, they talk about how he physically is like thinner and more skeletal and like his face is drawn until he eats and stuff because it's like healing and it takes so much out of you. And he gets to look back to normal Matt, but like, you know, grown up Matt as opposed to chubby little kid Matt.
Yeah.
And from then on, he just starts, like I said, from the time that he can walk out of the tower, like when that clip I sent you, that's the first time he leaves the tower, like the day after he's been healed. He can barely walk. And he's like, man, I wouldn't mess with those guys if I was healed. Those guys are dicks, man. I'm going to give them a hard time. And he ends up like getting into a bet with them and just fucking kicking the shit out of both of them. And they're like two of the greatest swordsmen that are like in this world at this time.
On that note, that leaves us with plenty more to talk about next time. This was perfect. Like I think this is what the next 8 months are going to be like. We just talk for an hour and just at some point we just have to stop so we don't turn it into an 8-hour episode. And I love it. I love it. I love it. If you want to get in on this, if there's some topics you want us to hit, something we missed, please tell us something we missed. Hit us up at Thank the Light.
Yeah, or if there's just something you want to talk about because it's your idea, fucking tell us and I'll give you credit.
Hit us up at thankthelight@gmail.com. That's thankthelight@gmail.com. Or you can get to Fatty directly. Well, you can get to both of us, but he's the main man on Wolf Brothers at Parched Eilman on Twitter.
The Bird app.
Anything else?
Caw-caw. No, man, I think that's good. You know, like I said, I didn't even think we were going to get an hour out of this, but probably by the time you cut it down, it'd be 40 minutes. So, and
you learned some things about Wheel of Time. You learned a lot about Fatty and me, and that's how these are going to go. You're going to learn. You're going to live, love, laugh, liquor, get liquored up. What's the other? I don't know. Maybe we don't need 4 L's.
The 7 L's. go. No.
Lick it off the table.
Dude, I had to crack up. Welcome back to the Fatty's Right cast. Because guess what, everybody? I'm like, oh, damn. Lisa's like, I was like, damn, am I coming off that way? You're like, no, dude, I'm just fucking with you. I was like, oh. Love was the answer the entire time.
Don't get me fucking started, dude. We did one yesterday.
All right, man.
All right. Love you.
I know you got to go. I love you, brother.
Thanks, Matt.
All right, brother.
Kiss your wife.
I love you. Talk to you soon.
Love you.
I will. Bye-bye. Look, it's just, can you read that? You can't read it.
Can you read it?
Do you read it? Yeah. It's the fucking scribblings of a madman.
Mixed and edited by Desmond McNeese for We Mixed It, LLC. Go to whatsoundsawesome.com.
This guy's got the right idea. He's wearing the brown pants.